Thank you, Adam. It is good to be here and to share this time together with you. Always a privilege to come and to speak, and look forward to it. It's good to see that spring is finally sprung, it looks like, and to enjoy our time in the season. Oh, it just seems I think my phone is ringing here. Yeah, I'm just going to, I better take this call here. Yeah, okay. Oh yeah, that's good. So you made it to Toronto last night, eh? Yeah, sorry about those Leafs. Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, not a very good outing, but I think they'll come back. They lost the first game, yeah. Yeah, hey, you know what? I don't really have much time to talk right yet. No, yeah. You remember I told you I was going to be at a church this morning? Yeah. Yeah, so can you call me back a little bit later? Yeah, okay. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, have a good day. Bye. All right, that really wasn't my friend. It's just a little illustration there. Maybe I better turn my phone off so it doesn't ring. But isn't this phone here an amazing piece of equipment? Yeah. Can you imagine? I can talk to my friend in Toronto. Wow. And he can recognize my voice and I can recognize his voice. Even if he didn't say who he was. That's pretty good technology, right? And I can even talk. I've got a friend in Singapore. I've got my sister who lives in Singapore and her family. I've got a sister who lives in New Zealand with her family. And I can actually pick up the phone and call them. And if I use WhatsApp, I don't even have to pay anything. Now, that's amazing technology. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if a person had never seen a phone, maybe some living in some jungle someplace, and you showed them this technology, wouldn't that just blow their mind? It is a wonderful thing. Now, here's a little quiz for you. I'm a teacher by trade, so here's a little question for you. When was the phone invented? I'll give you, because I'm a nice teacher, I'm going to give you multiple choice for this test, okay? So see how you do. Okay, was the first phone, okay, first of all, who invented the phone? Was it Bill Gates, Graham Bell, or Steve Jobs? Graham Bell, there you go. And what country was he from?
England.
Scotland, actually. Okay, and he did immigrate to Canada. He lived in Canada for a while, and then he actually moved to the United States where he did a lot of his research, but he loved coming back to Canada in the Maritimes where he had a place. And he actually not only invented the phone, but he also was trying to invent the airplane too. He was working on the airplane, believe it or not, and a few other things as well. So anyways, part of the story too is one of the reasons that motivated him, do you know what motivated him to invent the phone? Was deafness. Deafness. He was actually a professional person who dealt with like speech, hearing speech person. Anyways, because there are people in his family that didn't speak. So anyways, that's what he was, one of the things that motivated him for the idea of the phone. But okay, so here's the year. Was the phone invented in 1856, 1876, or 1906? Think about it. Okay, how many think it's going to be the first one? 1856, raise your hand. 1876, raise your hand. 1906, raise your hand. And the answer is the middle one, 1876. Okay, cell phone. When was the cell phone invented? 1970, 1973, or 1980? Okay, who wants 1970? 1973. 1980, it's 1973. You guys are a little bit farther behind. Now, I didn't get my first phone, cell phone. I didn't really want to, but 2007 when I first, like, finally succumbed when I had a business, I needed a phone. So anyways, but what would we do without these nowadays, right? Like, we're just lost, right? Like, the other day, I was picking up my sister, who's from New Zealand, with her husband. They were traveling, and they were coming. And it's actually from the States. And so we had this arrangement. You know how it is when you're picking up somebody at the airport, right? You say, well, call me when you land, when you're through customs, and I'll swing by. I'll park at the Esso there or the Petro-Canada, and then I'll swing by and pick you up. You've done that before, right? It's simple, right? You don't have to worry about parking and going in there. Now, the problem is I'm sitting there. Oh, their flight's on time, right? So I get there, and I don't get the phone call. I don't get the phone call. I don't get the text. I don't get the, what's going on? And apparently, make a long story short, their service plan that they had bought wasn't functioning when they got to Canada. So imagine that. Can you imagine what people did in the olden days when they just couldn't figure those things out? Right? Just, oh yeah, I'm delayed, whatever. Anyways, we are dependent upon these, and they are amazing. And we do take them for granted very, very much. But you know what's amazing? We can call even people, apparently, who are in this International Space Station, people can call them on their cell phones. So another means of communication, though, that is much more amazing and taken for granted, where there is no need for satellites, no need for radio waves, no need for devices with batteries that can sometimes run out. We can communicate clearly with no interference any time or day or night, and it is called prayer, right? Yes, it's our prayers that we use our voices and even prayers in our hearts and our minds that go through the barriers of buildings, through the atmosphere, and go to the heavenly places where they are heard and responded to by the Creator of the universe. Now that is amazing, and more amazing than even the telephone. And, believe it or not, no busy signals, no being put on hold, no static, no cutoffs, and no long-distance charges. Absolutely amazing. Now, imagine for a moment if we decided to call heaven. So we're going to call, I'm going to dial heaven. You know the heaven's number, right? What's the perfect number?
777.
Okay, so it's 777. There you go. So I'm just going to dial here, heaven, and see what it says here. Okay, here we go. And then you can imagine on the other end. Hello, this is heaven, your home away from home. Thank you for calling. Your call is important to us. Unfortunately, we are experiencing a high volume day. Now, you can stay on the line or press 0 to leave a message with an angel. Or if you are a first-time caller, press 1 and we will attend your call right away. If you're a member of the family, please have your baptismal certificate number and an updated tithing report ready to verify our records before we can connect you. If this is an emergency, you know you can press 911. But remember, you can only have 3 a year, and our records show that you've already used 2. If a Thanksgiving, press 6. If you want to make a reservation, dial save. For healing, press 8. For wealth, press 7. If a confession, press 5 and talk quietly. Well, fortunately, these things don't happen when we call 777. What a privilege it is to have immediate access to God Almighty. Prayer, as you know, is simple. It's just communicating with God. Yet it is very profound, and it takes faith to pray. And this morning, I want to show you, demonstrate for you, how it takes faith to pray. And in so doing, and to encourage you to make better use of this privilege and possibility and power of prayer in our lives. So the first point is that it takes faith to pray because you must have faith that God exists. Hebrews 11:6. Let's read it together. I believe it's on the screen. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith in God's existence is obviously the starting point for prayer. Obviously, some people don't pray because they don't believe in God. When I was working as a driving instructor, I had a student who was an agnostic. And I asked him why. He says, well, both of my parents are atheists. Well, I can tell you there probably wasn't a lot of prayer going on in that home. Yet even in a big crisis, when people have a big major situation in their lives, even atheists have been known to make a prayer to God. In fact, I was listening to a sermon by Dallas Willard, and he said that God is very happy to answer this kind of a prayer that says, God, if you exist, and if I really have an eternal soul, please, God, save my soul. God answers that kind of a prayer, even from an atheist. Now, fortunately, God has clearly made his presence known through his existence and his creative act. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." God has left many evidences of his creation. In fact, I believe that it takes more faith to believe that it just happened than a God, an intelligent creator, designer. But yet, it still does take faith. It does take faith to believe in God's existence. And that faith is the foundation of prayer. It also takes faith to pray because you have to have faith that God hears our prayers. And this is true because sometimes, you know, we might feel very, very insignificant and small. So if I told you that I had some access, immediate access to some famous people, so if I said, oh, I could just call up Connor McDavid right now on my phone, and, you know, and he'd pick it up and say, oh, how you doing, Keith, you know, you'd probably be, I doubt it very much, you know, that he has access to Connor McDavid. Or if I picked up my phone and, you know, and said, well, hey, Danielle Smith, how's it going today, you know? I'm an Albertan, but I don't have direct access to our premier. I'm a Canadian, but I just can't dial up our prime minister or any of his staff or some of the ministers. Just can't do that, right? Because I don't have that kind of access. So it surely takes faith to believe that little old me has direct and immediate access to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the all-powerful creator of the universe. I, little old me, can talk to him at any time, from any place, about any subject. Now that truly is amazing. What a great privilege when you think about it. And it does take faith. Now, maybe common knowledge for us who've grown up in the church, well, yeah, it's just, you know, we grow up praying, and that's what happens all the time, right? But try and explain that to someone who does not have that kind of a relationship with God, who did not grow up in that kind of environment. For them, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? In fact, I actually have a friend who grew up in the church. His dad was actually the pastor. And he left the church, and he's not a believer anymore. And I asked him one day, I says, why is it that you don't believe in God or you don't have a relationship with God? And he says, you know what? He says, I just can't believe that there's a God. And even if there was a God, he says, I could not believe that he would take interest in little old significant me. And the point is that his faith was not big enough in this God that really does hear us. Someone once said, you know what? I don't feel that my prayers get past the ceiling. You ever felt that way? But the truth is that God is everywhere present, and he's even below the ceiling. He does hear our prayers. Another thing is, people might not want to pray because they think, wow, what about all these people praying at the same time? It takes faith to believe that God hears me, but also takes faith to believe that God hears everybody. This kind of really struck me one time. I was at a Bible college in Three Hills, and there were about 700 people in this building. And the worship leader says, you know what, we're going to take a few minutes here, and I want you to divide up into groups of two, maybe three, whatever, and we're all going to just pray at the same time. And so we did that. So there's approximately around 350 people all praying at once. And I remember sitting there and praying and listening, and I was thinking, wow, what a noise. Can you imagine 350 people in one building all talking at once? And I was thinking to myself, God, how can you keep this straight in your mind to receive all these prayers at once? And what about a Sunday? You can imagine, maybe perhaps 1 billion Christians, and throughout the different time zones, you know, there might be approximately 200 million people talking to God at the same time. Now, how can God keep that straight? It would crash any computer system, right? No server could handle that. Yet God can. Have you ever been at a party and you're in a discussion, maybe here at church, and you're talking with maybe two or three friends and you're just talking about whatever, and you hear another conversation not too far from you, and it's something that's very interesting to you. Maybe they're talking about a hobby of yours, about some people of yours, or whatever, some friends of yours, and you really, really want to be in the other conversation, but you're stuck with this one, and you just can't really exit very well because it's not really polite. So you're trying to listen to both conversations at once. You ever tried to do that? That's not easy to do, is it? To be stuck between two. I remember one time I was talking with two people, And they had some social issues, whatever. And both of them were talking to me at the same time. And I was trying to listen to this one and trying to listen to that one and trying to listen to this one. By the end of that, my brain was just spinning. And that's just me listening to two people at the same time. Can you imagine God listening to all these people at the same time? Now, I don't want to make skeptics out of you. Think, what's the point of praying? God can, he doesn't have time for my prayers. But I'm just showing you how great our God is. He can handle all those prayers at once. And not only does God know our prayers, but our thoughts. Look what it says here. You can read along with me. Let's read together. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, know it completely. I remember listening to a sermon in chapel, and the professor that was speaking, he said, and a few months ago, actually, before that, his son had died in a very tragic vehicle accident. Teenage son had died in a vehicle accident. And he was speaking in chapel. He says, you know what? For many months, I couldn't even pray. I couldn't even bring myself to prayer because of all the hurt and the pain and the suffering that he was going on. And then he remembered, he said, you know what? God says that in the Bible, our thoughts, God knows our thoughts. He says, you know what? God heard my thoughts. And I realized I had been praying all along. And if imagine that. If God doesn't hear our prayers, we as Christians have to admit that we're a little bit delusional. Now, this idea actually struck me one time. I was working in a cemetery, believe it or not. I was a caretaker and, doing the mowing and the cleaning up and all that kind of thing. And there was other people on staff. And I remember I was working underneath, I was pruning some trees in the cemetery. And I was praying. And I was praying out loud. And I'm sure if my colleagues would look over me, he's talking to the trees again. They would think that this guy is crazy. Like, is he talking to himself? He's talking to the trees? He's talking to the people there? Like, what's with that? And I actually remember thinking, God, I thought, if you don't exist, this is kind of strange, isn't it? It is kind of strange. But the truth is that God does exist, and he does hear our prayer. Psalm 65, verse 2, let's read it together. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. God does hear, and he does answer prayer. There's a story about that, many stories actually in Scripture that talk about that. I just wanted to share one. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read a few verses here. This is when Ahab is going to challenge the prophets of Baal, the false gods, right? So Elijah had prayed, God, don't send rain for 3 years. So there was no rain for 3 years. And then King Ahab was really ticked off with Elijah. And then God says, okay, I'm going to send rain eventually, and I want you to call them all there. So Elijah calls people to Mount Carmel, and he says, we're going to have a competition here, right? We're going to both call on our gods, and the God that answers is the true God. And so that's what they decided to do as a little competition. So I'm going to pick it up at verse 20. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people said, what you say is good. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire. So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from the morning till noon. O Baal, answer us, they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar and they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. Shout louder, he said. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears as with their custom until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar. And then he talks about he made an altar, then he put on all kinds of water on the altar. And even though it was very, because it was very dry there, it hadn't had rain for a long time, but they found the water and they put it on the sacrifice. And then he picks it up at verse 36. "At that time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, 'O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so those people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" God is a God who hears prayer. Also, it takes faith to pray, because it takes faith to believe that God not only listens, but understands and cares. Now, if you are married, you know there is a difference between hearing and really listening. "But I told you last week we were having company. You looked right at me. You nodded your head. You said yes. Or I told you I was going to play golf." "Really?" Recently, I humbly had to ask my wife, "I know you told me 2 times already, but could you please tell me again what time your appointment with the doctor is scheduled for?" Perhaps it was more memory than it was listening, but probably a little bit of both. If you have teenagers, you know the difference between hearing and listening. "I told you to clean up your room before going out." "Sorry, I didn't hear you." Or if you're a teenager and you have parents, likely you do. "They just don't listen to me. They don't understand." Now, it's true at times that we are guilty of not being good listeners. We nod our heads, right? We pretend we're listening, but really our eyes are on the TV watching the hockey game. We're not really paying attention or reading a book. That's the one I get caught on sometimes, right? I'm reading, yes, yes, yes. And we're just in another world. A pastor friend of mine told me a funny but awkward story. Sometimes, you know, the pastor stands at the back of the church as people are leaving. He'll be, "Oh, have a good day. God bless you. Have a good day. God bless you. Nice to see you. God bless you. Have a good day." And this person comes up to them and says to them, "My wife just died this week." And he says, "That's nice. Have a good day." And then, "What did I just say?" He wasn't listening. He wasn't listening. We can actually be not very good listeners at times. I remember I was in this conversation at a party, and this person, a stranger, started talking to me, and he went on and on. He was talking about hot oil heating systems. And you know what? I know nothing about hot oil heating systems. And you know what? I don't care about hot oil heating systems. This person was going on and on and on and on. And I must confess, my mind was wandering. I did not want to be part of that conversation anymore. And I'm sure it happens to you as well. You're listening, but you don't really care. But you know what? That does not happen with our prayers to God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, let's read this together at the very top there. "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And then in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Our loving God really does care, and he does understand. We can tell him if we've been disappointed, if we've been hurt, if we're angry, if we're upset, if we're angry for not sending rain or not providing a healing or not providing a job or whatever it might be. We can tell him our pain and our sorrow. A real friend would gladly listen, and Jesus says that he is our friend. We know that song, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our cares we can share with him. So we can share not only our pain, but also our joys and our victories, the things that are going on in our life that we are glad about. Isn't it great to know that God not only listens, but that he really hears and cares and understands? This should encourage us to pray. And it also takes faith to believe that God answers our prayers. We must have faith to believe that God exists, that he listens, and that he cares, and that he answers our prayers. If we ask God for certain things, we must believe that he is in control, that God is powerful enough to do something about our prayers and not just be wishful thinking. If we pray for our unsaved friends and family members, we must believe that God can work in their lives and he can save them. We just recently heard of one of my nephews who has been wandering from the Lord and he's just recently coming back. God can and hear our prayers. If we pray for healing, we must believe that God can and does have the power to heal. If we pray for rain, we must believe that God has control of the weather. If we pray for our country, we must believe that God is in control of the affairs of our government and of our world. Prayer takes faith that God is able and willing to respond to our prayers. Now, it doesn't mean that God is always going to answer exactly all the way that we want to. But we do believe that he does hear, and he can and he will intervene, although not always in the way that we might imagine. Listen to the promise in Jeremiah chapter 33. Let's read it together. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. We recall the story of Elijah. He had prayed, God, don't send rain. For 3 years there was a drought. And then he prayed again, God, send rain. And God sent the rain. God is distinct from the other gods, like these gods of Baal, because he not only hears but answers the prayers of his people. And we know that God answers prayer because he has promised this in his word. We have very many examples in the Bible. We have answers from the experiences of other believers. And we have from our own experiences when we know that God has answered our own prayers. Isn't it encouraging to know that our prayers can make a difference? The prayers that we have for ourselves, for our families, for our church, for our community, for our country, for missionaries, for people around the world, our prayers can and do make a difference. I remember reading a book called The Intercessor. I know that Pastor Dennis has a list of books that he likes to share with you. And this book would be another one to share. It's called The Intercessor, about a man who had some fantastic answers to his prayers. But as we know, prayer is not just for the professionals, not just for prophets like Elijah. But let's listen to what James says in chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Let's read it together. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. In conclusion, prayer is very, very simple, but yet it's extremely profound. It takes faith to pray because we have to believe that God exists. It takes faith to pray because we must believe that God listens in spite of my smallness and in spite of so many people praying at once. It takes faith to pray because it takes faith to believe that not only God hears, but that he cares and understands. And it takes faith to pray because we must believe that God is able and willing to answer our prayers. And it takes faith to believe that that my prayers can make a difference in my life and the lives of others around me. There's a good quote here by Gordon MacDonald that says, until we believe that prayer is indeed a real and highly significant activity, that it does in fact reach beyond space and time to the God who is actually there, we will never acquire the habit of worship and intercessory prayer. I want to just give us a little challenge, a little homework assignment. I'm a teacher, after all, I've got to give you some homework, right? So here's our homework. So when your phone rings or when you dial your phone, when you send a message to somebody this week, and a text, could be a text too, before you answer the phone or before you hit the send button, say a prayer for that person. I don't think that's too hard of an assignment. And I'm going to try my best to do it as well. So before you send the text, before you answer the text or look at the text, before you phone, just say a prayer, a quick little prayer for the person. And hopefully that will be an opportunity to remind us of the privilege and power and possibility of prayer. Let's take a moment for a closing prayer. And then I believe the worship team is coming up to close us with a song. Let's take a moment to silently pray, and then I will say a prayer, and the band will come up. God Almighty, we praise and thank you that you are a great God, that you are a powerful God, that you are the creator God, that you are a saving God. We thank you that you have made us, and we thank you for the great privilege that we have, that we can be in a relationship with you, that we can communicate with you and tell you, not only praise you and worship you and thank you, but also share our concerns with you. We thank you that you do care about us, that you understand us, and you invite us to talk with you. We thank you for the stories and throughout your word of people who have prayed. We thank you for your church throughout the ages who has called out to you and you have responded. And we pray that throughout this week that we would be reminded that we can talk with you, we can praise you and thank you and bring you our petitions. Help us to continue to trust in you and to love you and to serve you. So may we go in the power of your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, through whom we pray, amen.